Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. We're continuing our study here in 1 Samuel. We got to chapter 2, about verse 5 or so. David, of course, under the protection of the hand of the Almighty, running from his enemy. And sometimes I feel like David when I read about this, and as I travel about in my travels. I don't have the protection of the king of the realm or of the tyrant of the realm. David was under a tyrant. Well, we're under tyranny today. We have a beast out there that is the government. Of course, the second beast of Revelation, somewhere in a transition between the first horn and the second horn of power. We see the image forming, the image of the first beast being formed in that second beast. And we also see that everyone has to have a number to buy or sell or trade in the unjust weight and balance monetary system in order to get credit and banking and participate in the unjust weight and balances. You have to have one of those numbers. Yes, you can trade in the script of the day, which is tied to that system. You don't need a number to do that. But you do need a number to participate, to get loans, to get benefits, to get travel documents, licensing, and to get insurance and things like that. And if you travel without those benefits that you get by way of having the number and using it, well, then you are in jeopardy at every moment, it seems. And many people say to me, well, I choose my battles, and that's not my battle. I could use that as an excuse to overcome and allay my fears of man and go ahead and do that and then pay all of the extra fees that they require, thousands of dollars a year for licensing and extra taxes and insurance to enrich those selected people who have paid bribes to have those laws passed to enrich the insurance industry, of which 90% of the money they collect goes to, well, help destroy the nation, basically. I hear that it's only like 12% that actually goes to administration and to paying claims on the insurance that you are required to pay if you're a licensed driver. So when I travel around out there in my automobile and I'm sitting behind the steering wheel, I don't drive, I steer. For all of those that are up with the legal jargon and knows what it means to be a driver is like a dentist. It's a profession. Or it's like, you know, anything that you might profess or need a license for. And some people say, oh, well, why don't you just go and get the license. But I've repented of using the number of the Pope's financial system. And yes, it is the Pope's. It is Rome's. You know, I know where all the roads lead to. And the more I tear this thing apart, the deeper I dig, what I find is that most people are unwilling to go beyond that point. And the point is this. It's called inconvenience. Oh, the inconvenience of not being able to participate in the beast's fake monetary system. All the benefits that you will lose. You won't be able to collect socialist security. Well, I'm not a socialist, so I'm not interested. And I don't want to forget any of my God's benefits. He says, forget not all of my benefits. When you look to others for benefits, guess what you're doing? You're forgetting God's benefits. And so I'm unwilling to do that. I've repented, and I will not, like the dog, return to the vomit. Yes, I have vomited out. That's what it means to repent of your evil. Repent of participation in a tyrannical and unjust weight and balance monetary system. Participating in theft from your neighbor and tyrannical laws that force people. Well, don't really force people. It's kind of a voluntary thing, because the clue is, anytime you have to sign your name for something, it's voluntary. Now, if you don't volunteer, oh, you will be harassed. and you will be persecuted for not volunteering. But I have chosen not to volunteer. So when I'm about traveling out there, and I'm in jeopardy at every moment, but I see the protection of the Almighty about me. I see that I'm hidden in plain sight, under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. I see the policy enforcers out there, and I see how they're busy, and I see how they're blind. Some of them come up behind me and pass me, you know. If I'm on, say, the highway out there, they'll come on the on-ramp and they'll buzz right around me like I'm not even there, like I'm invisible. They won't give me license plates for my car because I don't have insurance. They won't give me insurance because I don't have a driver's license. And they won't give me a driver's license because I won't give them a socialist security number. You see how that all rolls together? And I repented of participation in the Mark of the Beast monetary system, so I can't give them a socialist security number, because to me, that would be like the dog returning to its vomit. Yes, and I vomited that reprehensible system and participation in it out of my life. I took the word seriously when the scripture says, come out of her, my people. I took it seriously, and I came out. And there it is. So I am under the protection of the Almighty. I'm standing upon my rights. I carry traveling papers with me, not driving papers, but traveling documents. If you want to see my travel document, it's out there for everyone. Now, it's a very self-explanatory document. If you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, you look down there, you'll see a little menu with some links, and you'll see one that says travel document. And so do peruse that travel document. It will give you that. But I just made me think of that when I see David out here and his protection and reliance totally on the Heavenly Father. And you know what? David was afraid. Being afraid does not make you a coward. It's what you do with that fear that makes you a coward. For instance, if I caved in and I said, okay, I'm going to take Bick. I have to choose my battles. Whatever excuse I could use to go jump back in so that I would not have to be afraid. I give in to my fear. Of course, that would be, to me, like recanting my faith. That would be like, the dog returning to its vomit. And if I did that so I could get a driver's license and I could breathe easily, and it's that way I wouldn't have to rely so much on the Spirit of the Lord to protect me as I travel about on my right to travel, which in their law I have. You know, we only have a vestige, but I supposedly have a right to religious liberty, and my religious liberty says that I can't take a mark of a beast. I cannot take a monetary mark from a government, because the mark of the beast in the scripture is described as a monetary mark to buy or sell or trade. And that would include my labor and other benefits to get loans and things like that. I can't get any of those things because I refuse to use that number. It's not my number. It's theirs. The law says it's theirs. It never was mine. Most people believe it is theirs. That's because, well, if you believe it's yours, then it is yours. That's called worship. You're obeying it if you believe it's theirs. Because what they've done is they've recreated you in their image. They've made an image of you, and they want you to worship that image or obey that image that they've made of you. They've taken you, and they've created a fiction with a name similar to yours and given it a number. And they say, this is you. Worship. And when they ask for the number, you got to give it to them. If you don't give it to them, you can't participate, and you can't have non-harassment privileges. Of course, they harass their own anyway. If you go a little fast, they harass you. And of course, I obey all of the suggested speed limit rules, and I put the shoulder strap over my shoulder, and I don't use a cell phone in their presence. I'm not an idiot, because I don't want to cause them any offense. And frankly, when I'm traveling to go somewhere, on my itinerary isn't doing stupid things so that I can spend hours with them. And I'm on a mission. And I travel, and I live, and I move, and I have my being in Christ Jesus. And if he decides one day to lift his protection from me so that some policy enforcer, some centurion stops me for whatever reason, then I have to work with that, then I have work to do in that. And that's what it'll be. It's up to him. He really is in control. I don't fear man. And yes, that's not to say I don't feel fear, but I am not driven by the fear of man. The fear of God is what drives me. Because he said, fear not them that can kill the body. And most people fear much less. They fear inconvenience. Or what will the police do if they stop me? Because I can't get a driver's license without a social security number, and I can't get insurance. And if I don't obey all the rules, well, they're going to stop me and beat me up. Well, you're not supposed to fear them if they kill you. So anything less than them killing you, well, you're not supposed to fear that either. Now, I figured that much out. So we move and we travel in a tyrannical time where people are enforcing something on us by force. They're inducing us to volunteer because it is voluntary. If you don't volunteer, we will harass you. That's the message. That's called tyranny. Because they want you to volunteer. They want you to sign on the line to agree with them. That's how the Inquisition worked. Recant. Why did they need your permission? Why did you have to recant? Why couldn't they just force you to bow down? No, they wanted you to do it willingly, by whatever means. And that's why the scripture, fear not them that can kill the body, or anything less than killing the body. Them that can cause you financial inconvenience. Or them that can stop and harass you on by the side of the road. Or them that can take your livelihood away from you, your job. Well, you're not supposed to fear anything. Yes, it's a hard thing to give up. I understand it. Most people can't accept it. That the mark of the beast. You know what's comforting? I'll tell you what's comforting. Is the futurist interpretation of the mark of the beast. Because it's always out there in the future. It's more comfortable to believe that than to believe it's already here. It's more comfortable to believe that it's always out there in the future. We're never quite there. And for the futurist, the problem with the futurist fantasy is it'll never happen because it always has to be out in the future. And of course, then you have the preterist. Everything is past. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. This is the new heaven and the new earth. And, you know, if you want to go for that. And also then, you know, as much as I love the Seventh-day Adventists, they have their theory by the word of the Pope, because I read that, you know, you were supposed to use scripture to interpret scripture, but on this one subject, they use the Pope to interpret scripture, because the Pope said that Sunday is our mark of authority. That's not using the scripture to interpret scripture, that's using the Pope's, what the Pope said to interpret scripture. And yes, the scripture says that it's a monetary mark. It doesn't say that Sunday is the mark. And they're all wrong about that anyway because they got the wrong calendar. The calendar, as clearly demonstrated through the scripture, is by the month or the moon cycles. His calendar. It has nothing to do with these pagan days and pagan months out here. So they've got the wrong day. And I say that all 3 days, Friday is for Islam on the Pope's calendar. Saturday is for the Babylonian, Talmudic, Jewish and people and all the so-called Christian Sabbatarians. And then Sunday, of course, is for the Pope's cult, the Roman Catholic cult, and all of her Protestant daughters. See, the Pope has it all covered. They're all his Sabbaths. It's not Sunday worship. Never will be. The Sabbath has nothing to do with Saturday or Sunday. So they're wrong in that point. And they're wrong when they say that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. The Pope may have said that, and I believe he did say that's our mark of authority. And yes, that is their mark of authority in the world. They rule the calendar. And who's ever in charge is in charge of the calendar. That shows you who's in charge, but it doesn't make. So that's very convenient. If you can think that the mark of the beast is these other things that never will be, then when it's right here in your face, as the scripture says, it's a monetary mark to buy or sell or trade from a beast government, and coincidentally, from the beast government we have, the second beast of Revelation, which morphs into dragon-like, well, it becomes clearer and clearer all the time. And unlike the futurists who believe that once you get the mark, that's it, you're doomed forever, I don't believe that. I believe that you can repent because the scripture says, come out of her, my people. And I believe that there are people who have it and use it and don't understand it. I don't believe that they'll be condemned. It's not for me to judge that. I don't know. But I think once you know, once you realize, once the Heavenly Father gives you that information, that you are to seriously consider it. And then faith begins. You have to walk by faith, because then you have to live without it, which means that you have to totally rely on the Heavenly Father for your livelihood, for what you need. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. You have to look to him for protection rather than looking to the card that you're carrying as a pass, you know, get out of jail free card, an anti-harassment card, because that's basically all it is. It's a protection racket. You pay the piper and you are protected. That's all it is. It's a protection racket. The whole insurance licensing scheme, you pay them and you won't be harassed. They won't beat you up or steal your vehicle if they catch you out there traveling without. It is a protection racket. Okay, I've gone on long enough about that, but just talking about Saul and David and the protection that David had from the hand of the Almighty as he was moving in and about the tyrannical government that was about him. How men came to him and to fight with David against the tyranny. So we'll pick up here. The prophet Gad, we're in chapter 22, verse 5, said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. And Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him. Now Saul abode in Gibeah under the tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. So they were actively looking for David. And I think you're in more trouble if they're actively looking for you. See, the thing is, I can hide in plain sight because they're not actively looking for me. I just try to look like I belong there. That's what I do. I use deception, basically, to travel around and be unharassed, as David used deception. I'm in a war. I'm engaged in the battle fully, and I'm relying fully on the Heavenly Father. This is a walk of faith. This is not for the faint-hearted. And if you're not out there, if your life is not about righteousness, if your life is not about pleasing the Heavenly Father, if you're about your own business, then I would advise you not to do this, not to try to. Because there are a lot of people out there, I see, and you hear the stories all the time, people out there exerting their right to travel and things like that, and they're not following the Lord. What protection do they have? They have none. They're not engaged in the battle. Their battle is for rights given by men, or some supposed right that they have, of course, being called an unalienable right by God, according to the laws of the land, but the laws of the land are not in effect when you have tyranny. You need more protection than the laws, because you got men up there in these courts and in all these high places. They don't care what the law says, obviously, or they wouldn't be opposing all these things. They wouldn't be forcing people to sign on the dotted line to get things that are unlawful in order to not be harassed or be protected. Like I said, it's a protection racket. So Saul is being targeted, being sought out by the tyrannical government, of course, we call Saul. Saul said to his servants that stood by him, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields," he's bribing them, "and vineyards, and make you all certain captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day." Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine." So remember, he was there, this Edomite. And you notice the first one to turn is an Edomite against the Lord's anointed, and that would be David, because he was anointed by the prophet to be king over Israel. Of course, Saul has not been deposed yet. Then the king, Saul, sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And we'll have to pick up here after some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we'll dive right into it when I get back. No side trails for the rest of the show. Lord willing.